It. We've started recording. So, what would you like to explore in terms of a habit that you might like to explore and possibly change?
Well, the main thing I would like to explore is my confusion, frustration with the lack of progress I'm making in relation to my search for the divine, God, whatever we call him, or it, yeah.
Your confusion and frustration about the lack of progress in your search for the divine. Is there anything else about that confusion or frustration?
Well, yes, I'd have to wonder, is the problem at my end or the other end? Is it something that I am doing wrong or not doing right? Or is there a block from the divine, from God, raising the question then? If there is a block from his side, why does he exist? How, I suppose, one good way of putting it would be the gap, the vast gulf between the promises of particularly Christ and the delivery of those promises. But also, I mean, it something similar, Buddhism would seem to promise something similar, Hinduism as well. But yet there's this, as I say, vast gap between the promise and the delivery, and that's what I find so frustrating and confusing.
And you have to wonder, is the problem your end or the other end? And is there a block?
I mean, certainly have to wonder if the problem is at my end, if, you know, what am I doing wrong, if I am doing anything wrong or not doing something right. Or you mentioned in our last class about the bind. Is there some sort of vicious circle or some sort of loop that I'm going through mentally, spiritually, emotionally, whatever, which is preventing me from making any, certainly as it seems to me, from making any progress?
And as you wonder, is the problem at your end or the other end? Is there anything else about that other end?
Well, yes, I mean, is it even right to speak of the other end? Because Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity tells us that God is within us. But if he is within us, how come it's so bloody hard to make contact, to connect with him?
And the other end, and is it right to speak? God is within. What kind of other end is that other end?
Well, I believe the other end exists in some intelligent form, probably also in some sort of personal identity. Yeah, I would have to say, yeah, I believe that it exists, and that it exists as some sort of individual or personal identity. In other words, a personal God.
And other end exists in some kind of intelligent form, individual, personal. And when the other end exists in some kind of intelligent form, Whereabouts could that other end be?
Well, I suppose my upbringing and my background would tell me that other end is in heaven, somewhere up there, and, you know, in outer space or out there from us. But my search seems to be directing more and more back within myself, as I use the three examples, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Christianity. The strong thrust in each one of those, or at least a strong common thrust in each one, is that the divine is within us, is within me.
And when that search is directing you within yourself, where could that other end be when it's within yourself?
I suppose I'd have to say offhand, my head, my heart, my chest, or my stomach. Stomach is probably because it's where I would feel most or sense most. But again, it comes up to the question, why can I not connect with it, make some contact with it? Some intelligible form. I mean, come back to the frustration and the confusion. If I was to put as much time, effort, and energy into pursuing a woman as I do into trying to establish a relationship with the divine, you know, I'd be crazy to have persisted as long as I have. And I would have to say that if there was no comeback from that woman at this stage, well, clearly she's not interested. Game ball, that's our right, that's our choice, and move on. But that option of moving on, if you like, I believe, is not open to me. I suppose the words of St. Peter, he says, you have the words of eternal life. I mean, I believe in the divine, whatever form or shape he or she or it takes, and there's no alternative but to connect with that divine. So, but again, the example of the amount of effort, time, and energy I put into it, you know, would, as well, be a valid comparison in terms of if I was trying to establish a relationship or get off with a woman.
And that divine feels like it's in your head and your heart and your chest and your stomach. And why can't you connect with it? And what kind of connects could that connect be when divine is in your head, your heart, your chest, and your stomach?
It would be some sort of awareness or consciousness. Some sort of awakening that this, yes, is here, and it is not just theory or words or pie in the sky, that it is a reality which is has a relevance or a connection in my day-to-day life.
And it would be some sort of awareness or awakening. It is there.
Awaken that it is there, yeah. Or awareness.
And is there anything else about that awakening, that it is there?
Well, I suppose that awakening is its own sureness in that if that awakening occurred, then I would know, I would have the wisdom or the insight, if you like, to realize, yes, this exists, yes, this is here, and yes, I can connect with it. But as long as that awakening is absent, then you know, I have to keep asking myself, is it all words? When did the words become alive? When did they? I mean, probably a good example would be that I know the White House exists, and I have seen it on television. But I've also been in it. But my knowledge of it, seeing it on television or in the newspapers, and my knowledge of having my awareness, my experience of having been in it, they are two totally different levels of consciousness, levels of awareness.
Hmm. And if that awakening occurred, you would know, you would have the insight.
Yeah.
And how would you know?
Well, I would know simply because awakening or awareness is a knowing.
Hmm.
It's a consciousness that of some sort of other level of reality, of other level of consciousness.
And anything else about consciousness when it's knowing?
I believe that consciousness, that level of consciousness does exist. I mean, there have been people in history. There's a guy called David Hawkins in America who's had these experiences, and he's written several books on it. I mean, there's the obvious case of St. Paul, that whatever happened to him on the road to Damascus, but he seems to have had remarkable insights subsequent to that. So he would clearly seem to have had a very significant change in consciousness, and what Hawkins has written about would indicate the same, some sort of a similar phenomenon, a similar level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And that level of consciousness does exist?
Well, I believe that the records of it existing are valid, they are genuine.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I do believe it exists, but my problem is, why can I not reach into that, why can I not achieve that level of consciousness, at least to some extent, to some degree, and even if it's only intermittently, at least initially.
Mm. And when that level of consciousness does exist, what kind of level is that level of consciousness?
Well, I suppose the best way to describe it is how Hawkins described it, in that he said that he saw, was aware, was conscious of the essential oneness of everything. That all of creation is one, different manifestations, if you like, of that oneness, with all people, trees, animals, the whole lot, basically that underlying oneness, and he saw that.
And level of consciousness, David Hawkins, he saw that. And when you have confusion and frustration for your lack of progress, what kind of level is that level for you?
Fairly mundane level, a fairly basic level of consciousness.
Mm. And it's a mundane level, a fairly basic level of consciousness.
Yeah.
And your search for the divine, the level of consciousness does exist. And that level of consciousness that does exist, when you are on a mundane level, Whereabouts is that level of consciousness that does exist? Whereabouts is that level?
Oh, I would have to say it's in my head.
And whereabouts in your head?
I suppose in the middle, but towards the back, at the top.
When it's in the middle, towards the back, and up the top, is there anything else about that level when it's in the middle of your head?
Yeah, it's bloody frustrating and confusing because of my firm belief, maybe it's even more, I suppose possibly even be more than a belief, it's a conviction, it's almost a certainty, yeah, probably a certainty that, yes, this other level of consciousness exists, but the frustration is not being able to connect with that, and the confusion is that although I do what the mystics who I believe have made this connection, even though I do what they do, it just still seems to remain very much at the mundane level, so hence the confusion and frustration.
And the conviction, is the conviction in your head?
I would probably say the conviction is where I said when you asked me an earlier question about it being in my head, in my chest and stomach.
Mm.
That there's, you know, put it this way, there's a level of certainty there. But as to why I have that certainty, I do not know. It's, I suppose, it's a certainty beyond, maybe a knowing beyond knowing, but it's a certainty, in my case, a certainty beyond any reason or any experience.
Mm. And when there's a level of certainty that's beyond any knowing or experience, whereabouts could that level of certainty be when it's beyond any knowing?
It seems to be, I haven't mentioned this before, but now it seems to be in my throat. A lot of it seems to be in my throat, lower throat, which I suppose would connect with the head and the other experiences, the other feelings I had earlier mentioned about head, chest and stomach. Those also would have, I would have a strong sense of that being in my lower throat.
Mm-hmm. And level of certainty beyond any knowing is in your throat. And when there's a level of certainty in your throat and a level of consciousness in the middle of your head, is there a relationship between level of certainty and level of consciousness?
Yes, so it would seem to be a very clear divide between the two. There seems to be a gulf, if you like, I used that word before, between that sensation I have in my throat and the consciousness. The consciousness of the consciousness, put it that way, that exists in the back of, in my head, in the middle of my head.
Mm. And there seems to be a clear divide between the two, the gulf.
Yeah, it seems to be, I don't know, a darkness that the two certainly seem not to be connecting, seem not to be linked, and not maybe even, not even aware of each other's existence, but definitely, again, I suppose the picture I have in mind, the metaphor, if you like, is a dark gulf.
Mm.
Two sides not connecting, darkness between them, and as I say, possibly not even knowing, each knowing that the other exists.
Mm. And there's a darkness, and they seem not to be linked, and not even aware of each other's existence.
Mm, yeah.
And when level of certainty in your throat is not even aware of the other's existence, what would level of certainty like to have happen?
That it would link with the level of consciousness in my head that maybe somehow by combining their energies, their efforts, their qualities, the qualities they have in common and the qualities that maybe they don't have in common, that by combining those, that it might provide that spark to jump across from my present level of consciousness to the higher level of consciousness.
Mm. And level of certainty could link, combine energies with level of consciousness and a spark. And anything else about combining their energies?
Well, I suppose it's like the spark plug in a car, that the petrol, the electricity from the battery combines with the power in the petrol or diesel to create an energy which powers the car forward.
Like a spark plug in a car. And where could that spark plug have come from?
Well, you've thrown me a bit by that question in the sense that that's something, if you like, an image, a metaphor I use, if you like, into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Where might it come from? I don't know. Nothing comes to mind readily or easily.
Mm-hmm. And level of certainty and level of consciousness and combining their energies. And when combining their energies, is there anything else about combining their energies?
I suppose that combining of energy can be done only or mainly by the qualities that each one brings to that ignition chamber, we call it, where the spark would fire.
Mm.
That the energy, I don't doubt the energy of either.
Mm.
It's other qualities, maybe the qualities that either of those two have or some other quality that needs to come into play, act as the catalyst, if you like, to cause that to fuse their energy into forward motion for a car, or in my case, forward motion to higher consciousness.
And combining their energies, bringing qualities, and fusing their energies like a catalyst. And as they fuse their energies, what happens to the gulf?
The gulf remains, but it's not that important anymore, because the firing of the spark plug, the firing of the engine takes place in that empty chamber, if you like, that gulf, that darkness.
The firing of the engine happens in that empty chamber.
Yeah.
And what happens just before the firing of those of the engine in that empty chamber?
The two energies, if you like, have to be brought together. The petrol has to be brought to the combustion chamber in the engine at the same time as the electricity from the battery comes to the spark plug to cause that spark to jump across in the spark plug, which then, as it's jumping across, then ignites the petrol.
And the two energies have to be brought together.
Yeah.
And what happens just before the two energies are brought together?
Well, the driver has to switch on the ignition, has to turn the key in the ignition. This starts the whole process.
And the driver has to switch on the ignition, turn the key. And is there anything else about that driver?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose he doesn't know the technicalities of what he's doing, in the sense all he's doing is turning a key in the ignition. But at the same time, he has to be conscious of what he wants to do, you know, in terms of driving the car. But it's also that he needs to have petrol in the car, and he needs to have a suitable battery.
And he needs to have petrol in the car and a suitable battery and be conscious. He doesn't know the technicalities to turn the key in the ignition. And what would that driver like to have happen now?
That the combination of the certainty and the the interaction of the certainty and the consciousness would combine the power the driver, onto a higher plane of consciousness.
the driver would like an interaction of certainty and consciousness would combine to get to a higher plane. And what needs to happen for that interaction of certainty and consciousness?
There seems a sense in which there's the certainty, the one in the throat. There seems to be a lump in my throat or a block in my throat. There seems to be some way in which that's blocked from moving into the head space.
There's a sense of a lump in your throat.
Yes, because I can certainly feel that lump, if you like, at the base of my throat, but higher up my throat is very free of any tension or lump or pressure. And even the energy from my chest seems to be focused on that space at the base of my throat.
And is there a relationship between that space in your throat and that empty chamber where the firing of the engine happens?
Yes, it's too far removed from the empty chamber to make contact with the petrol. To fire it.
And that sense of a lump in your throat. What kind of lump is that lump?
It's a lump which is preventing the flow of the electricity through to the gulf, the chamber.
And that lump that's preventing the flow of electricity, does that lump have a shape or a size?
Yeah, it would have a shape of a ball and probably the size of a tennis ball maybe.
And when that lump that's the size of a tennis ball is preventing the flow of electricity, what would that lump like to have happen?
The lump doesn't have any likes or dislikes, it's just there.
It doesn't have any likes or dislikes, it's just there. And when it's just there, where could that lump have come from?
It's come from an accumulation, if you like, of energy flowing to that point and being blocked there, that it can't flow beyond. So, if you like, it has to expand in a, go out in a round shape, in a ball shape.
And when that lump comes from an accumulation, and it has to expand in a ball shape, what would you like to have happen when there's a lump in your throat preventing the flow?
Oh, I'd like that blockage, whatever's causing that energy flow, whatever's blocking that energy flow, I'd like that to be released, which in turn obviously then would release the lump.
And you'd like that blockage released.
Yeah, so that the energy could flow through.
And what needs to happen for that blockage to be released?
I suppose the only thing is to come to an understanding of what that blockage is, how it came about, why it occurred there rather than any other part of the system or any other part of the channels between, say, example, between my chest and my head.
And you suppose come to an understanding. And what needs to happen to come to an understanding like that?
Well, if I knew why it was there, why it had come there, what its purpose or function was originally when it started to develop, if I knew that, then I would have some way of releasing it, or get some insight as to how I might release it, or it might be released.
And what needs to happen for you to know why it had come there and what its purpose is?
I suppose, in a sense, going back to where we started, I need to connect with it. I need to get an understanding of it, why it's there, how it functions, what it tries to achieve, what it hopes to achieve. Because certainly now, as I think of it, there's no doubt that there is definitely that sense of something being dammed, in the sense that the flow to it from the chest side is quite a strong sense of being blocked. But beyond it, the rest of the throat is quite free of pressure.
Okay, and you need to connect with that. And comes back down round to the start.
Well, I suppose another thing too, rather than connecting with the blockage itself, is to connect with the channels. I'll call it channels for the moment, whether they're nerves or arteries or anything else that's at the point of the blockage, which presumably is holding the blockage in place. How did that come about, and why is it doing that?
And can you connect with the channels, the points of the blockage?
Yeah. I can certainly walk along the river bank or whatever, yeah, say, even if it's taken in terms of a river bank, it's a flow, I can walk along the river bank to the point where the blockage occurs and have a look, see and what's causing the blockage, and what contribution the walls of the channel are making towards that, towards maintaining, sustaining that blockage.
And you want to connect with that, connect with the channels at the points of the blockage, and you can. And would this be an okay place to bring our session to a close?
Well, my answer to that is it would be a disastrous place to bring it to a close, but I am aware that, you know, it has gone on way more over time, so yeah, fair enough. Maybe to try to work on that myself.
And how could you work on that yourself?
Well, I suppose one thing would be to focus my consciousness, to consciously focus my attention on that place, realizing that the blockage is there, that there's definitely a significant difference in the pressure beneath the blockage compared with above it, that presumably that blockage was not always there, so it came about for a reason, but also that the reason, if you like, whatever the reason is or whatever the instruction came from, the execution of that instruction is being carried out by the walls of the channel.
And as you focus your consciousness, focus your attention on that, what happens to the confusion?
It probably lessens a bit in that it now, where I am now, is gives me hope that maybe I may be able to, there may be a way out of this, I may be able to find an answer, I may be able to find a way through.
Excellent. Okay.
So at least it opens up another possibility, put it that way.
Okay, and take all the time you need after our session to do or write or record anything that you need to do to help you focus your attention and consciousness. Okay, is that an okay place now to conclude,
yeah.
Tom?
Okay, Angela,
thanks
very much.
That's okay, thank you very much for sharing that with me, and I'll circulate a copy of this recording, probably with a few notes just about the process to help kind of give some clues as to what was going on, I hope.
Okay.
All right, and it'd be interesting to have your feedback as well on what was going on, but maybe we can pick that up by email afterwards.
Yeah, fair enough. One thing I don't know what you want to be with an hour on the email about, why do we say shape and size but not colour, texture, flow, heat, that sort of thing, when
okay.
we ask the question. Do you want to,
yeah,
do you want to deal with that?
We might as well answer it and I'll keep it on the recording. Some people will be more visual, some people won't be. If somebody has given you some indication that something has a form, so, you know, if it's, I can't remember your exact words, it's a lump in my throat, then you might not be able to see the colour, but you would know if it had a shape or size through the logic of what you've given me already, because it's a lump. So you can kind of go with shape or size quite safely. But colour, you know, somebody might say, well, I haven't got a clue, I can't see it, can I? So shape or size is the one that you use when somebody has given you a clear indication that there is a form that you can ask that question of, kind of thing.
Mm. But
right.
Then it could also have a texture or a, you know, density or a movement or lack of movement.
It could, and we tend to just stick with the clean questions. And people do come up with descriptions of textures or movements. There are a few specialist movement questions, which I'll come onto on another class. But generally, the cleaner you are, you just allow the other person to tell you, you know, is there anything else about that lump? When it's a tennis ball, if the person knows that there's a texture, they'll tell you, kind of thing.
Yeah,
otherwise,
yeah.
You're kind of planting the possibility, which is not being clean. Okay. All right.
Okay,
well, look, thank you very much. I will stop the recording now so that it doesn't get too long. So thank you, Tom, and I'm going to press stop.